at queensu.ca. Recruitment details, depression study. Individuals must be located in Ontario and diagnosed with depression. Alcohol relapse study. Individuals must be located in Ontario and have a current or previous alcohol use disorder, AUD, diagnosis. And perimenopause study, looking for women age 40 to 60 years in age in early menopause diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. For more details, contact the QU OPL team at www.queensopl.ca.
It's 3 p.m. on a Friday afternoon, and you are tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM broadcasting live from Kingston, Ontario.
Featuring the latest songs from artists in Canada and from around the world.
Hosted by DJs from coast to coast to coast.
30 minutes of Canada's newest music downloaded exclusively from the Earshot's digital distribution system.
You're listening to Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily.
Earshot Daily.
Welcome along, I'm Sean Savage. This is the Earshot Daily, electronic edition. This time around, I have music from Caribou, Jacques Green, and Charlotte Day Wilson. Kicking things off, this is Braids with Amends.
I
is Canada's Music, Earshot Daily. Music was meant to be. Earshot Daily.
Thank you. like Avedon. It was the era before the phone, so a party photographer tagged along. Neon beams was flashing, the DJ played the rapture. Saw the lights reflected rays, she was dressed like Chloe Sevigny. Met her on the seventh day of tour, it was going awful. On the road with 12 apostles, out there trying to spread the gospel. Started missing daylight, knew I had to stop raving. Woke up, came back to light, got reincarnated. At night service, Saturday mass, night service. Stained glass in the future, see the past. Night service, Saturday mass. Night service, Saturday mass. Night service, Saturday mass. All the nights with stained glass in the future, see the past. Night service, Saturday mass.
This is the Earshot Daily. Thanks for listening. Follow me on all socials. My handle is TheMixSessions. Let me know what you think of the show. That was Jacques Green, Cadence Weapon, and Justin Strauss with their track Night Service. That was off the Arts and Crafts label. Up next is my track La Musique.
You're listening to music from Canada's premier indie music source, Earshot's digital distribution system.
I'm
Sean Savage, you're listening to Earshot Daily. Unfortunately, that's all the time I have for this edition of the show. This is Charlotte Day Wilson. We'll find you. Until next time.
Listen up, Canada. This is your show on your station, Canada's Earshot Daily.
Early morning.
listening to Earshot Daily. For more information, visit earshot-distro.ca.
Hey, 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 this is Disco Rick. Got a brand new show, Dance Floor Dispatch. We're going to be playing all the best house, electronic, and obviously we're going to be playing some disco. It's every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Tune in at CFRC 101.9.
Hi, I'm Genevieve Hinch, and you are listening to The Kingston Curator. This is the show that keeps you connected with everything happening across Kingston's art, music, culture, and community scene. Whether you're looking for your next concert, wanting to discover local artists, or just trying to stay in the loop with what's going on around the city, this is definitely the place for you. Hello, hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Kingston Curator. Today, we have a pretty cool festival to showcase for you all. I myself have a couple of classical favorites, but chamber music is something I definitely don't know a whole lot about before this week. So we are learning a little bit more about it through the very first Cataraqui Chamber Music Festival happening right here in Kingston. So for anyone who is not familiar with chamber music, let me break it down for you for a second. So it is a form of classical music written for a small group of musicians. So traditionally, it's usually one person playing each part with no conductor, believe it or not. So it actually dates back hundreds and hundreds of years ago and was originally performed in much smaller, kind of private spaces or chambers, which is where the whole name comes from. So that smaller setup is still a huge part of chamber music today, which I think is pretty cool and definitely unique because instead of having this conductor directing everyone, the musicians have to communicate with each other throughout the performance to kind of work together to lead the piece and make sure everything is sounding okay and they're producing music, right? So that's definitely a very interesting and unique aspect to this type of music for sure. And that's what audiences are getting to experience throughout August at the Spire with the Cataraqui Chamber Music Festival. So this is the festival's first year, and it is bringing together different musicians and combination of instruments across several concerts. So the festival is definitely going beyond classical music by also incorporating indigenous artists and performances into its programming as well. So that is another really, really cool fact to this festival that I really love. There's definitely a perception sometimes, you know, that classical music is something that you need to know a whole lot about before you can actually appreciate it. But part of what I wanted to learn about today is whether that's actually the case and how a festival like this can kind of introduce chamber music to a wider audience. So there's also a whole lot that goes into starting a festival for the very first time. You have to find musicians, choose the repertoire, decide who will be performing together, find a venue, and most importantly, of course, figure out what you actually want the festival to be. But today I'm joined by pianist and artistic director Ying Zhang, who has been a major part of bringing this festival to life and also performing throughout the festival herself. So she herself wears a lot of hats, has been working hard to help bring this to Kingston. So I'm really excited to be talking to her today about kind of where originally this idea came from, why she wanted to bring Chamber Music Festival to Kingston, how the musicians and music were selected, what has gone into getting everything on the ground in its first year running. So I'm super excited to kind of talk to her now that the festival has kind of taken off a little bit and has been underway. We'll also get to hear how the first year has gone so far, how the performances have been, the audience reactions, and what Ying hopes kind of its future could look like here in Kingston. So I'm super excited to hear from her. So let's get right into this interview, shall we? All right. Hello, everyone. If you are a fan of live music or maybe you're looking to experience something a little different here in Kingston, the Cataraqui Chamber Music Festival is currently underway at the Spire. The festival brings together musicians for a series of chamber music performances throughout August. Today, I'm joined by pianist and artistic director Ying Zhang to talk about the festival and how it came together, what audiences can expect, and what it's like bringing the festival to Kingston for its very first year. So thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I really appreciate it. Yeah, and to start off, for listeners who are hearing about this Chamber Music Festival for the first time, how would you describe it?
Yeah, so this year we are doing the festival from August 5 to 18, and we wrapped up on 19. So for the festival, we have 6 classical chamber music festivals. We have already done 4 of it, and we will have 2 more on August 14 and August 18, both at 7 p.m. at the Spire. And besides of classical music concerts, we also do lots of indigenous culture and music component in the festival. So yesterday, we just got done indigenous workshop, including drumming, singing, dancing, storytelling with Robert Spade, the artist coming from Montreal, currently teaching at McGill University. And we also do an Indigenous Culture Corridor, which is currently open to public, free of admission, on the entrance of the Spire in downtown Kingston.
Wow, so cool. So there's truly a little bit of everything going on. That's amazing. And this is the very first year for the festival, correct?
Yeah, this is the very first year.
So how did this kind of idea originate?
Yeah, so we started to plan for this festival a year ago as we started in Montreal, and our headquarters there in Montreal. Mm-hmm. And we expanded to Kingston at the end of last year. Our founder, Mrs. Clara Child, she's very passionate about both classical music and indigenous music and their artworks. So that is why we want to combine these two together. And especially for indigenous culture, we really want to do something to make the community in Kingston area to feel the beauty of their artworks, their music. So that's why we're doing those things free of admission for both the workshop and this culture corridor.
Wow. And before we get too far into the festival itself, I also want to ask a little bit about chamber music itself, because I'm sure maybe there's a couple people listening who might not be very familiar with it. So how would you kind of explain chamber music to someone who's completely new to it? And what do you think makes it so special to kind of experience it live?
Yeah, so chamber music is basically when they're involved more than one performer. So if we have 2 performers playing together or more than 2, that's basically chamber music. Mm. And we really want to do this as our mission is for helping developing the career for young emerging artists. So we think chamber music is a good way to let them communicate in a musical way. Mm-hmm. So like we imagine when pianists playing with violinists, with soprano, with cellists, they communicate a lot. So they have this chance to talk about music together and learn each other, learn the differentiations between different instruments. We believe that will be a benefit for young artists to develop themselves.
Yeah, for sure. And I was watching a couple videos online before this about these performances, and just the music, it's so beautiful. And you can really see it's just a whole different kind of conversation that the musicians are having on stage. It's truly, yeah, incredible to watch. But there's obviously a lot of that the audiences don't see for sure that come to the concert, especially when you're putting on this entire festival for the first time. So what has kind of gone into making this festival happen behind the scenes?
Yeah, so we have basically 10 artists in total. 9 of them are performing in the concert, like musicians. The other one is an indigenous artist. So among these 10, we have 8 of 10 from Canada. We also have 2 musicians coming outside of Canada. So we have violinist who just performed on August 10th, that's coming from Seoul, South Korea. It's a very long way. And it's also a very young musician. And we have another one coming for the closing concert, closing night, on August 18th. And her name is Song Ha Choi, a wonderful violinist, already have built up her reputation worldwide. And I think the common things for everyone is they are all very young. Like I would say the average age is something, I think, under 30 years old.
Wow. I love, too, that you're bringing kind of someone from a different part of the world, kind of experience all this beautiful music from kind of different aspects of the world. That's really cool. And I'm sure it was a very hard selection process, I imagine. So how did you go about choosing kind of the musicians you wanted to bring in for the first year?
Yeah, so different with other kind of festival or organizations, we didn't do any auditions or applications. So basically, we just select musicians by invitation only.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, because I play the piano, so I know who is good, who is not that. So basically, I think it's not quite necessary to do an audition or application. So all of them, even though they are very young, but they are all very experienced. So I think the quality of the music is something we are very confident about.
And kind of throughout the performance or the festival, we're seeing all sorts of different combinations of musicians playing together. So how did you decide who performs together and what those different concerts are going to look like?
Yeah. So we really want to create a variety of the instrumentation. We don't want to repeat them doing same kind of combinations all the time. So you will see we have two sopranos playing with piano, but they are different kind of voice range.
Yeah.
The one for the opening night is a coloratura. So like bring the piece, the famous one like Queen of the Night. And the other soprano is in a different voice range and bring a totally different styles of repertoire on the concert on 14th. And we also putting solo piano and solo violin together. Even though it's chamber music festival, we think solo performance is also a very attractive part of performance. And we also do a flute and cello, which is probably not that often to be seen, but it's very cool as we do lots of contemporary music for that. And we're also putting piano and cello together and piano on the violin. And so we cover basically instrumentations like string instrument, keyboard, woodwind, and vocal. It's basically everything.
Yeah, wow. It sounds like it. A little bit of everything kind of mixed together. That's so cool. And when it comes to the actual music, how do you kind of choose what will be performed? Do you try and mix pieces people might recognize with ones they probably haven't heard before? What's that selection process like?
Yeah, we really want to make our concert program quite unique and like we don't want to repeat what other organization or presenter already done. So we create the program specific for this festival. Like you come to this festival and you listen to it once, you probably most likely you won't find the same program to be played for the second time somewhere in Canada again.
Wow.
So we really create this kind of, you can only hear those here at the festival this year.
Wow. So yeah, you're really making a unique experience for everyone. That's so cool. And something that really stands out kind of about chamber music is really how intimate it can be. You're not watching kind of like a huge orchestra from far away. You're much closer to these musicians, right? And kind of what they're doing. So how does the closeness change the experience for both you as a performer and maybe for the audience?
Yeah, so the venue, the Spire, is a very historical venue. It has wonderful acoustics. And so audiences, like, they sit in this venue, like, they are close to performer, and especially they will have lots of opportunity and chance to communicate with them during the concert, after the concerts, as most of the musicians introduce their music a lot during their performance, like before they play and after. And I see lots of people coming for every concert, so they like being here for all the time. So I think they know the musicians very well, and they communicate together like good friends now.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, I think that's great to kind of get the performers to be able to talk to people listening to them and get those conversations going. I think that's a great aspect to this festival for sure. And also, another thing I want to mention, sometimes classical music can have kind of this reputation of being a little intimidating, right? Especially if you don't grow up listening to it. So I'm curious, is breaking down some of that barrier something you wanted to do with this festival and kind of allow more accessibility into this classical music scene?
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things we are doing this year is we provide a certain amount of tickets for Queen's University students like college students for free. So like free student tickets, we did that before the festival as we really want to grow up the audiences to the younger generation. So that's why we are doing lots of free student tickets. And I think it's a benefit for the local community.
100%. Yeah, that's amazing. Giving those tickets out, kind of sharing this wonderful festival with youth and growing kind of their learning and getting to hear kind of a different style of music that potentially they've never heard before. I think that's a great idea. And yeah, I'm happy again that this is coming to Kingston for the youth and all ages to experience this wonderful genre of music. And obviously, we were talking about the Spire a little bit. And the setting is another big part of this experience, and all the performances are happening at the Spire. So it's a great home for the festival. So what does that space add to the music, would you say? I'm sure the sound in there is incredible.
Yeah, so the venue is very historical, especially for doing both classical music and indigenous music. So it's really connected well for the history of this land. It's a church building, and it's for something about like, I think 800 people capacity, quite relatively large in Kingston. And most of the time they put like colorful lightings and some welcoming music before we start concerts. It's a very lovely space.
Yeah, I can imagine. And like you just said, there's another side to the festival for sure that goes beyond the concerts themselves with the Indigenous cultural corridor and educational programming. So why was it important to you to include that as part of the festival from the beginning?
Yeah, I think Indigenous music, their artworks, those are very, very great things, but it's probably didn't have the chance to present that much and often. So it's something a little far from us. Like we don't have that much opportunity to see that. Like for me, I've been seeing their dancing and music on YouTube or recording a lot, but I have never seen that in life. So this time we bring lots of live performance and also the artists talk a lot about their cultures. And those things are quite different because they grew up in that environment and they are telling you the stories of something really happened on them. So I think that would be some very valuable and meaningful things to do for our community.
And how do you approach kind of bringing the cultural and educational side of the festival together with the musical side so it all feels kind of connected?
Yeah, it's I mean, it's different types of music and they are all very great. It's kind of communications between the Western classical music with the music from this land. So for the culture corridor, we are bringing some artworks, the painting from artists, and the artists also explain their painting, like the story behind the artworks. So they can really use this way to show something like people just walk around and can stop by and seeing this. That is for the small exhibition. It's 3 display panels currently at the Spire. And for the workshop, that is 2 hours long. So we have this event, including the drumming, the storytelling. So the artist was on the stage yesterday, the last night, and play some songs and everyone sing together. I want people really feel they are involving and participating. So that is why we're doing workshops instead of another concert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that kind of interactive component to it and kind of getting the audiences to be more hands-on. And I also love that you have lots of different art forms coming through and especially different cultures. So that's, amazing. And so many just different experiences to have throughout this festival. And now I kind of want to switch gears a little bit and talk about your own experience, because you're not just behind the festival as an artistic director, you're also performing throughout it. So what has it been like being on both sides of it, helping put everything together and then sitting down at the piano to perform?
Yeah, it's definitely challenging us. So many things going on. For this year, I'm performing within 5 concerts and mainly 6. So each concert is different program and with different people, and especially for rehearsal, like we are all in different places, different cities. We usually get like 2 or 3 hours before the concerts to rehearse.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so everyone need to be very well prepared.
Yeah.
And it's a good experience to play with different musicians. And of course that there are lots of things for organizing. Even though we have a wonderful team and some people there assisting for the festival, and some volunteers from Kingston. There are still lots of things to like going on every day.
I can imagine. Yeah, wearing both of those hats, you're definitely a very busy person for sure. And another question I had is just kind of as a pianist, what do you personally love about playing chamber music?
Yeah, so actually I was in solo piano studies during my I study in the conservatory's middle school in China. Ever since then, I was keeping on the track of solo piano performance. And I also did some vocal piano and instrumental piano training during my studies at university and conservatory. But I think ever since we finished our studies, I really find a different way to keep learning. Mm-hmm. So that is why I want to do more chamber music. It's really like you learn when you play with them, and those things are would be better than just doing classes. It's like people learn each other in a musical way. That's very, very effective.
Mm-hmm. I think that is so cool. And I love that you still want to push yourself and you want to learn more. I think that's a very cool aspect to yourself as well. And one thing I found really interesting when watching kind of these smaller groups perform is that it almost feels like the musicians, like you mentioned, they're kind of having a conversation with each other without really saying anything. So is that what it feels like when you're performing? Like how much are you actually responding to the other musicians in that moment?
Yeah, that's all about the experiences. Like when we playing together with others, I think most of the time our mind are on the parts of other musicians. So like we playing something like of our parts, but in my mind, I'm listening all the time of other musicians together. That's a different kind of way of thinking comparing with just playing yourself, like solo mm-hmm. performance.
100%. Yeah, it's definitely a different way of thinking when you have to kind of surround yourself and be like, oh, okay, they're playing, and kind of, see fit into the puzzle pieces with each other, for sure. And when you're working kind of with a different number of musicians throughout these 2 weeks, does the way you play or approach a piece change depending on who you're performing with?
Yeah, definitely. Everyone is so different.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I play with soprano. It's like, for example, the same piece. If I play with 10 different singers, everyone is a different kind of version. So you always need to adapt to them. So mm-hmm. that requires me to know their parts, their what they are saying, like their language, the text, the lyrics, everything very well. So you can be always together with them without spending too much time rehearsing together.
Wow. And now, jumping back into the festival a little bit, you're now partway through it, so you've actually had the chance to kind of see this idea that you've spent so much time working on finally happen in front of an audience, which I can imagine is so exciting. But what has it felt like seeing people actually come through those doors and experience the festival for the first time?
Yeah, I think the audience's members in Kingston are all very lovely. And actually, as I've seen that our audiences for the festival this year are not only coming from locally, like from Kingston, but I've seen a big group of numbers of audiences coming from United States,
wow.
from BC, Ottawa, Quebec, Trois-Rivières, everywhere. So I'm very surprised of it.
That's amazing. It must be such a good feeling knowing, too, that they're traveling all this way to see this festival. So it's, you know, that you've done something right for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I know you just said that kind of surprised you. Has anything else surprised you about the first year or kind of taught you something you'd want to carry forward?
I think, yeah, I'm also feel that people are all very much love about those indigenous artworks that we presented. I'm a little worried that people probably like don't know much about that. But mm-hmm. actually, I've seen lots of people stop by and look at it, and everyone feels like, wow, that's so beautiful, those yeah. painting and artworks. Yeah, so lots of great reactions.
That's great. Yeah, so hopefully, yeah, continuing on that tradition. That's amazing. And yeah, hopefully this is just the beginning for the festival. And when you look kind of a few years down the road, what would you love to see the Cataraqui Chamber Music Festival become?
Yeah, we really want to come back every 1 or 2 years yeah. and keep this festival continued. And for future, actually, we have lots of ideas. We want to bring more of the like Canadian composers to premiere their new compositions in
oh,
the
wow.
future edition. And we also want to enlarge for having a bigger education program. Probably we will do some Chamber Music Institute together with the festival, maybe a few years later when we grow up a bit to be a bit more bigger.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, we are sure looking forward to that. And before I let you go today, there are still some performances to come this year for this year's festival. So what is still coming up that people should have on their radar?
Yeah, we have two more concerts. So for August 14, I will play with Ariana Cosette, soprano coming from a Canadian opera company ensemble studio. We are performing the concert at 7 p.m. that day. And also for August 18th, Songha Choi from Berlin, Germany will come to Kingston to perform with me some Brahms violin sonatas together at 7 p.m. as well.
Amazing. And finally, if someone's listening and wants to come out to the remaining performances, where can they find kind of the full schedule, tickets, and more information on that?
Yeah, our website and Harmonaire, harmonairemusique.ca.
Perfect.
That is our website. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, be sure to check that out. And thank you so much for taking the time to join me today and tell us more about the Cataraqui Chamber Music Festival. It really sounds like a great addition to Kingston's summer art scene, and I'm really excited to see where this festival goes from here. Again, that was the amazing artistic director, Ying Zhang. sharing some insight into this wonderful festival and how she's brought the love of chamber music to Kingston. And again, for listeners who want to check out the Cataraqui Chamber Music Festival before it wraps up, there's still two performances left. One today at 7 p.m. with soprano Ariane Cassette, and she will perform alongside piano with music from composer including, okay, I'm going to try and say this right, Puccini, Verdi, Strauss, and Grieg, I think. And the festival then closes Tuesday, August 18th at 7 p.m. And yeah, it is a great, great festival. If you're wanting to kind of dive into a new music style or genre or just want to learn something new, so definitely go support this festival and check them out. But that is the end of our episode for today, and I hope you enjoyed the Kingston Curator.
Hey, it's Emily Steele, and you're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hi, this is